Brothers and sisters, we're going to open up our Bibles this evening, and we're breaking into the second letter to the Church of Thessalonica. And I just thought that it would be good to just refresh for a moment for those who might be starting again, and also for all of us that have been through this first letter that we just finished. The bridal calling that is so stitched so deeply into these letters is just amazing. And I think it is such an appropriate study, especially for this time. Well, anything God would lay upon your heart, but this these Thessalonians are so mirrored to the time and the conditions in so many ways that we face today. I was studying back again this week how this was an important port city. It was very strategic to Rome. And this was a city where they had many educated people. This was a city, I'd say, of a lot of nuance. The new things, if you want to say the technology of the day was running through there. And I see so many parallels to Denver. How it is such a strategic, centered city, whether it's to New York or to California and all of these places. And we have, I believe, one of the highest educated workforces in the whole country. We have a lot of the technology, all of the little companies like to come here, and all of the different things that are going on. But yet, in that hustle and bustle and all of man's wisdom, there was a group of people that God touched their hearts. And He touched it deeply. And He touched it quickly. And they received not just a message, but they received the message of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And I'm just so grateful to God. It really does. It makes the hair stand up on my arms for my brothers and sisters in Christ in this day and age, and also for my brothers and sisters in Christ, obviously, in these letters that were written to them by Brother Paul. But as we begin this, I'd like us to remember as well that he wrote... I should say, to introduce this, he wrote this second letter very shortly after the first letter that he wrote them, and he only wrote them two letters. And to get a timeline on this intense ministry, let's remember that Brother Paul, when he was led of the Lord to go visit them in the first place, he was only there 3 weeks. He was only there 3 weeks ministering them intensely of the deepest things of God. He left, and then he had sent Timothy back to see them because it was dangerous for him to go back. They were not going to allow him back into the city. Timothy went and checked on their condition, spiritual condition in the Lord. He reported back to Paul, and Paul was obviously thrilled. And within 1 year of the very first visit, he wrote them the first letter. And it was not even a year later that he had written them this second letter, and maybe the report came back from the deliverer of the first letter of their condition again, that Paul was moved of the Holy Spirit to write them this second letter. And we're going to see the urgency that he writes this letter. We're going to find out that there were false speakers unawares that were coming in that quickly and distorting the gospel. They were even claiming that the coming of the Lord had already passed. I think of how many different spins that people have tried to put on the Word of God, whether it's even in the Jewish community. Some of them believe that now there is no Messiah. That was just something that was a symbolic thing. Some are still looking for the Messiah. Whether it's even in the general religious world, they've done that as well too. There's many religions that are out there that are even popular now that believe that the coming of the Lord already passed, that it happened somewhere around 70 A.D., and if you can believe it or not, you're living in the millennium right now. Well, if this is the millennium, I don't want to have anything to do with it, you know? So we know it's not. Some people try to preach with snakes and lay down with lions, and they take their dogs up in the mountains, and then they have to shoot them. So, it's not here. We know that. And I'm not trying to be facetious or anything of that nature, but we understand that that is just foolishness, and God has given us His divine Word. But this is a letter of great encouragement, and this is a letter and a calling to these brothers and sisters to stand fast, and stand fast specifically in the traditions that were taught by Paul of the Word of God. Brother Paul brought these things to them. And before I go on and get into this, I do want to mention Brother Copley has a study on this second letter, and it's a wondrous study. And you can get it off the internet. There's different ways that you can get it. And I want you to know he brings out a wonderful vision of this letter as a type of after the bride has been taken. And it's very precious. It's a very sweet vision. This second letter he brings out is different than the first letter, because the second letter, he's saying, is a vision after the bride is taken out. Obviously, the first letter was so much of the encouragement of being ready for the bride. But I have to tell you, I have a little bit different vision myself that the Lord has given me in this. And I don't want this to be any conflicting things at all. I don't think there will be anything conflicting at all. And I do agree that there is a chastening, that there was a warning. And it's very pronounced throughout this letter, not to be carried away in false doctrine, not to be carried away from the first love. But I believe that the first trumpet and to be ready for the coming of the Lord is very clear and very pronounced in this letter as well. And before we begin, I want you to read just a couple verses with me. One in chapter 2, verses 13 and 14. Where it says, that's chapter 2, verses 13 and 14, it says, "But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth, whereunto he called you by our gospel." And right there, that gets my attention, because this is Brother Paul speaking, and they were called by his gospel. To the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. So I'm thankful to God, Brother Paul, through the Spirit, hadn't given up on him yet. And then in verses, in chapter 3, 3 through 5, may this thrill your heart as well. But the Lord is faithful. See, isn't that wonderful? But the Lord is faithful. I don't care where you've been, what you've done, who's been distorting what. By the grace of God, the Lord is faithful. Who shall establish you, keep you from evil? And we have confidence in the Lord touching you, that ye both do and will do the things which we command you, and the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patient waiting for Christ. So in that, we'll begin verses 1 and 2 of the first chapter, and I hope that we'll just be encouraged of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus and how the Lord could still come even before we finish this message. All right, Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus, unto the church of the Thessalonians and God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now this is almost the exact salutation as in 1 Thessalonians at the beginning of that letter. And first, so sweetly, I want to point out again, you notice it's to the church. And I love that. There's a oneness, and God is speaking to a oneness. There's a unity in the Spirit that by the grace of God, the high calling saints must have. We're not all of these divided things. We're not of Paul and of Cephas and of Apollos. By the grace of God, it's Christ. It's His message. It's that high calling message that He has given us. And so sweetly, there's this oneness and fellowship. And the church here did not have any separation. There were no divisions in the fellowship. And notice here it goes on to say about the truth, that it must be grace before peace. Now we mark that every single time, and it is so important. And please make note that for your entire walk, brothers and sisters. You think about that slogan that says, "Got milk?" Well, I like to say, "Got grace?" Well, you got peace. And you do. If you have grace, you have peace. If you don't have grace, you'll never have peace. There is no peace in the flesh. There's no peace in religion. There's no peace in the law. There's no peace in works. The only peace that you'll ever have is in the grace of God, knowing that it's His workmanship, knowing that He's the one that's for you, knowing, as we've already read tonight, that He is faithful and that He is always faithful. And He's the one that's so faithful that He said, "I'll even perform it." Now, isn't that wonderful? See, that's the rest that we can have in God. It's not that we become slothful. It's not that we become sleepy, lethargic, or lazy Christians. It's by the grace of God, I'm relying on His work. Lord, I'm showing up. I'm showing up this morning. What do you have to do? Praise God. It's your work. Allow me to be willing for you to work in me. That's what it is. That's the key, brothers and sisters, letting God do the work in us. So in that we say, thanks be to God for His grace. And let's go on to verses 3 and 4. We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because that your faith groweth exceedingly, and that the charity of every one of you, listen to that, the charity of every one of you, all towards each other, aboundeth. There was no love and dissimulation there. There was no love of and a hypocrisy there. They just loved. They loved with the love of God. It was rampant. It abound, and it went every direction. Praise be to God. And that's the unity that this congregation had. So that we ourselves glory in you, in the churches of God, for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that ye endure. Now this is precious. And again, their faith is growing exceedingly. Their love for one another is abounding. And you talk about the two bridal, wondrous bridal qualities that we read here, faith and love. Faith and love. And what a pair. What a pair. And with the bride, they're inseparable. They're always together. Praise be to God. She is such a expression, a testimony of this faith and love. And this faith and love in the Word of God is also known as spirit and in truth. And by the grace of God, I hope we understand that is the sufficient witness for that bride, that all the fullness of God dwells. Brothers and sisters, it is true. We've heard it many times. You can have all the truth. If you have no love, you will dry up. You can have all love or the Spirit, but if you remove the truth, you're going to blow up. If we get them both together, praise be to God, we will grow up. And that's the realm that we are in at this time. By His grace, it is faith, it is truth, it is love, it is the Spirit, and He is growing us up. Now, one thing I do want to note here in this first portion, one thing is missing from the very first letter in the salutation, in this introduction. And what's missing, if you'll note, is back in the third verse. It's the patient hope for the Lord Jesus Christ. And the reason that I mention this omission is not that just that it is missing, but we read about it. And let's go back over to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 5. Now let's read that again. It's precious that there's an invitation to the patient waiting of our Lord Jesus Christ. But in the first letter, it was assumed, it was known. You're waiting patiently for the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's read this fifth verse. And the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patient waiting for Christ. See, it appears that something had changed. It appears that there's been a lapse. Maybe something's gone a little bit cold here. But how strongly Paul, right from the beginning, he starts chastening them. He starts warning them. He says, hey, look. You need to get yourself, by the grace of God, back in order. And what was going on, and what we'll read about later in this study, if the Lord tarries, is they needed to withdraw from disorderly brothers. There were brothers, okay, and I'm sure sisters as well, too, that were running amok. And they were disorderly. And they were disorderly because they were distorting the gospel. They were starting to become carnal. They were starting to become legal. They were telling these people things in the Word of God that were not true. But the Bible tells us to search the Scriptures. The Bible always tells us to go back into the Word of God. Let me tell you something. There's many winds of doctrine, the Word tells us. Know your Bibles. By the grace of God, I was appreciative of that brother that gave a testimony on Sunday night. And I appreciate the thought of a sword fight. But let me tell you something. You're fighting with a sword. When somebody else doesn't have the Word of God, they're not fighting with a sword. They're not using the sword at all. They don't know how to. By the grace of God, be one that knows how to wield that sword. That we're not tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine. That we're not out there being confused. by the grace of God, may we stand and withstand, and having done all, to stand. This is, by the grace of God, our life. This is the truth that He has given us. And there was a fight, and there was a mighty fight going on. And Paul did chasten them. And Paul encouraged them, come on, brothers and sisters, you need to follow me as I follow Christ. God, it says there in Romans, will judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. But Paul does glory in one thing in this first part. He glories in their patience in tribulation and persecutions. Brothers and sisters, are we patient in our tribulations and persecutions? I don't believe I'm patient enough. I'll get in the front of the line. Say, Lord, I know I need more patience with it. I need to trust you more. By the grace of God, Lord, I know that you're working in me. I appreciate these brothers and sisters, how quickly they got it. How quickly they knew that, Lord, you're taking me through these things. Whether it's in body, whether it's with my children, whether it's with my family, whether it's with my job. God, you've got a plan. Help me to be a believer in that plan. Help me to be sold out to know that you're God and that whosoever cometh to God must believe that He is. That I can just kind of cut through all this stuff, and Lord, then I can start to tend upon the things of the Lord without distraction. Lord, I just believe you. And I'm going to tell you, it's good. I've been there. By the grace of God, I am there. And you know what? It's good. It's just good. I understand that sweet woman when she could say, with her son dying there, actually dead, it is well. And I hope that hits you. It is well. And you know why it's well? Because Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming, and Jesus is coming for you. By the grace of God, that's the invite that we have. That's how simple this life truly is. Do you love His appearing? Do you really love His appearing? Are we waxing a little bit cold? Does it seem to be maybe just getting a little bit, oh, well, I've heard it before. Lord, by the grace of God, let me stir up the gift that is in me. Let me stir it up. Allow that Holy Spirit to just break through. We have been called to something so great. And it's almost here. It's almost here. And that, by the grace of God, is our joy. That was the joy of the Lord that was set before Him. By the grace of God, that's the joy of the Lord that's set before us, is knowing that there's a door that's going to be open at any moment. And by His grace, may we apprehend it. All right, verse 5. It says, which is a manifest token of the righteous judgment of God, that ye may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God, for which ye also suffer. Now, on the surface, we read this. This is an important verse. I really want you to pay attention to this. Because there are different ones throughout my life, and just a few of them, that have pointed this out. To say, see, you have to suffer. A Christian has to suffer to go to heaven. Let's read that again, what it says there on the surface. Which is a manifest token of the righteous judgment of God, that ye may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God, for which ye also suffer. Worthy of the kingdom of God. Let's think about that. Well, I heard it. It said there must be suffering to inherit the kingdom of God. You know the answer to that is no. Mm-mm. Really, I want you to think about this. In Romans chapter 8, it clearly tells us that children are heirs. How much suffering did that thief upon the cross do for Christ? Did I hear an amen? I heard one. Come on now. I know it's Wednesday. It's only 7:45. How much suffering did that thief upon the cross do in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? Zero. That's right. And this day you shall be with me in paradise. All right. So we would know in our heart of hearts that that's not what this is talking about. And as the Word of God tells us, to rightfully divide His Word. Get in there. It means cut it up. Isn't that precious? And I think there's times that God, He will. He'll move you. I mean, we could get into this thing, as Brother Hill said, and I appreciated it so much. Well, son, You've gotten so deep, there's not a bubble. Now, I don't want to go there either. But there's times, brothers and sisters, you got to get in there. And that time is when the Spirit's leading. And this is a precious thing here. And sometimes I wonder why that we have the old King James. We have this wonderful Bible. And it is. It's the very Word of God. But you know, there's some things that you have to dig in there to really find out how they are said, what is said, and what is meant. Now, I've had people ask me that, and all I can go back to is study to show thyself approved. I just say amen to that, Lord. You know what? We just can't stand there. You got to feed by the grace of God. You got to get in there yourself and feed upon this Word to have it effectually work in us. But here, it's the joint heir, as we know in the Word of God. The joint heir is the one that suffers jointly with Jesus Christ. And so goes it for this verse. Because here's the definition of worthy of the kingdom. Worthy of the kingdom is not to be confused with an actual kingdom. This is actually in vines, and you'll also find it in the lexicon. But rather worthy, listen to this, it's worthy of the right or authority to rule over a kingdom. That's what this means. So let's put it into real context of how it reads. That ye may be counted worthy to rule over the kingdom of God, for which ye also suffer. If you suffer with me, you'll reign with me. It's consistent through and through. Don't let it fool you. Don't let it be something that somebody would trip you up on. You know this. By His grace, this is what the Word of God is. And it does substantiate itself. This is the suffering, brothers and sisters, in the highest sense. This is the good sufferings. This is the joyful, glorious suffering for Christ's name's sake. This is His bridal suffering. And you see how high calling this is. Do you see how high calling this is? These brothers and sisters, by His grace, they haven't missed it. They have not missed it. There's a calling going out to them. And that calling that's still going out to them is be ready. Be awake. Be alert. Be attentive. Don't let those things fade. Don't let them slip. By the grace of God, let's press on. We might be a little bit tired, but at the same time, don't grow weary in well-doing. And then I love this verse 6. This is one of the many sweet benefits of His love for us, brothers and sisters. And let's go ahead and read verse 6. Seeing it is a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you. Now that's your God. Isn't that wonderful? It's a righteous thing for Him to take care of these things. And make no doubt about it, He watches over you. You're the apple of His eye. He loves you. He gave His only begotten Son for us, brothers and sisters. He's the lover of our soul. And the lover of my soul just happens to be very God of very God. So you better watch out. And you know, it's been really precious to me again as of late. I feel in my heart, He's allowed me to experience some of the sweet things that David has been rejoicing in those Psalms. But He reminded me of those that have been set against me. And you know those that are set against you? Do you know that they're not against you? They're just fighting God. That's really what it is. That's what it comes down to. So don't take it personally. Actually, I take it real personally. I said, you're messing with my Father. You're messing with my Savior. You're messing with, by the grace of God, my bridegroom-to-be. See, that's when it really gets personal, doesn't it? But see, He's the one that fights our battles. And I think I mentioned this. It was something how there was a person that was messing with my kids. And I knew it. It wasn't something that offended me because he was messing with my kids. The Lord just so sweetly spoke to me, son, he's messing with me. And you know, it wasn't just 3 days later. And he's on my same street. And we've never had this thing. All of his windows were shot out in his truck. Guess who he thought did it? But guess where we were? At church camp. Isn't that just something? And then another person, and maybe the Lord will have me talk about it, probably the one that had in business that had done me the worst of worst of worst. But see, they meant it for evil, but God meant it for my good. And He really did. And I just have to share this testimony with you. You know, The manifold blessings. The manifold blessings. First and foremost, just the blessing to move with God. That's just grace. But all of the fringe benefits, and I'll just tell you just a few. You know how this whole, what do they say, the capital markets, all of the liquidity crisis that's going on in this country. Well, for those of you who don't know what I used to do finance. And I had a company that did loans, and loans on buildings, and loans on houses, loans on a lot of different things. And I had these different relationships with these people that the Lord had me do business with for many, many years. And for many, many years, and again, I give all glory to God, made them a lot of money over and over and over. And they never lost one dime. And I say that to all the glory of God. I had a wonderful dad. I had a wonderful dad who taught me a lot of wonderful things. And I had a faithful father that allowed this young man to listen to him. And I encourage you, listen to those that have gone before. Listen to those that are wise. It'll save you a lot of problems, and it might even put some money in your pocket. Never know. But I listened to him, and there was a lot of wonderful instruction. But these people that I'd done business with, lo and behold, I didn't know, had been working on this scheme for pretty much almost a year to basically try to take all my business away. And I found out, and I was gravely disappointed. I really was disappointed. And right after I'd found out in the meeting that I had with them, I left. And God told me just so specifically, said, son, this is mine. And this was almost, I guess, 4 years ago. And the Lord called me into the ministry about 3.5 years ago. And I didn't realize all the things that would transpire. But within a half a year of that, you know, the Lord sold my business. That was one of the things that was kind of distasteful too to me, because I'd done business with these people for so long. I thought, is that really all it's about, is money? And I'm not trying to ride my high horse. I'm just telling you the truth. I liked relationships. I liked people. Always have. I enjoyed working with folks. Very loyal. And that can get you in trouble too. By the grace of God, just listen to the Lord. But how he moved me out of these things, and how he kept his hand upon me. And I was thinking how he sold that company that I had right before it all broke loose. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. That was his will. I just think how sweet it was for myself. He knew where I was going and what I needed. But it was funny. I thought for about the last year, if there was anything I was going to do, but I didn't have the right heart about it, I was going to write them all a thank you. But see, the Lord took care of all that, and he did. And I won't go into all the things, but that man, the Lord had me witness to 2 times. And I remember the last time that I'd witnessed to him, he said, I don't need the Lord, I beat cancer. And I looked at him and I said, what are you talking about? I said, you didn't beat anything, you know. And I appreciated to... My brother mentioned it to me the other day as he was visiting with a guy. He said, you know what? We're going to die. And this guy wasn't a believer. And what he was trying to set him up for, are you prepared? Getting a little bit older. You're going to face it. Now, we're looking for a door to be open where we might not. But inevitably, it's going to happen if the Lord tarry. But it was so precious to me because... how God takes care of us. But that man, he said, no, I got it beat. I beat cancer. Well, cancer just took him here shortly ago. So, and a lot of different things. But see, they mean it for evil. But God meant it for my good. And know it. Know it. Believe it. Know who you are in Christ. That doesn't mean we walk around like the cock of the walk or something of that. You know, I just know who's for me. And I'm learning that more and more, and I'm learning to put my confidence in him. And it's sweet. And I'm starting to have even more compassion on people because they don't realize when they touch you what they're doing. Like Jesus Christ said upon that cross, said, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. And I hope that we would have that kind of heart. I know God protects me. I smile and just rejoice in how he protects me. But I know when those that raise their hand up against me, They don't know what they're dealing with. And it's not me. It's just somebody who loves me. So know that and let that just, I hope, thrill your heart. I don't know why God took it that way, but I think that's a sweet testimony for you. But that's what God does. And sometimes, brothers and sisters, the wicked might reign for a day or two. It might look like they're prospering. But leave no doubt, their judgment's coming. There it is. It's coming. And let me tell you something. That day's never going to end. And here it is in verses 7 through 9. Let's just keep going. And to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with His mighty angels, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power. Now, just as our day has not begun, so has this day not begun yet. And that's the day of everlasting destruction of the wicked. And their punishment has no end, brothers and sisters. So don't be troubled in them that harm you. And I would hope that it's not that we're thinking, well, let me tell you something, you're going to be dealt with. I hope that we would have compassion as Christ Jesus did. I would that all men be saved. I really would. Every single one of them. That's what Christ wants. And that's what Christ can do in our hearts. There isn't any so wicked that He didn't die for them. And let me tell you something. My sins put Him upon that cross just as the wicked of the wicked. Because we were all born in sin and shapen in iniquity. And we all need Jesus Christ and that blood. Praise His name. But remember, this is God's work. And in that, Paul is encouraging them to rest. Isn't that precious how he says rest? See, let's not get worked up about this stuff. Rest. And rest with the very rest of God. And the very rest of God rests in that it's all in God's hands. That we are His workmanship. That our steps are ordered from the hair of our head to our downsetting, to our uprising, every single thing about us. He's got a complete plan of perfection if we'll let Him do it. And what a day it's going to be. This verse 7, brothers and sisters, I'll kind of hurry along. This speaks of Revelation chapter 8, 10 and 19. You'll find it there. This is the moment, and what a moment it'll be, when Christ Jesus has His bride with Him. Those mighty angels in glory, that's His bride. Hallelujah. Throughout Revelation 8, you'll read that. The judgment of this old world begins. You'll read in there, the brass feet have arrived. It's coming. And He's got a cloud. He's got an army with Him. It's exciting stuff. I can't imagine what it'll be. I like watching some movies sometimes and seeing all that kind of stuff moving around. And I've always kind of been into science fiction a little bit because I like to use my imagination. But praise be to God, I haven't even imagined what God has prepared for them that love Him. Isn't that amazing? And this is part of the preparation. It's going to be spectacular. It's going to be amazing. Every bit of it. And this is just the very first part of part 1. And it's the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness. Wasn't that a precious thought? Hallelujah. But again, Jesus Christ at this time is going to wrap it up. And He's going to wrap it up as God. And His jointly ruling and reigning glory is with Him, as we read here. And it's time that it's going to be unleashed. And in the second chapter, in the 7th verse, and what a precious verse it is, it says that until He who hindereth is taken out of the way. All right? This is when He who hindereth is taken out of the way. Now, a lot of people say, oh, well, that's Satan. No, Satan's not going to be taken out of the way when everything breaks forth. It's the bride of Christ. When she is gone, all fury is going to break loose. And that evil, that devil, he knows then he's got a very, very short fuse. And praise the Lord, it's going to be a time. And it's going to be a time of judgment. The judgment is coming and it's coming down. And praise be to God, the head is going to rule. But notice there in verse 8, it says, just as it says in, well, let's go back and read verse 8, because this is wonderful. Let's really get the thought of this. In flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God. Let me tell you something. You can't even imagine what that's going to be. And this is just the first part of it. In flaming fire, taking vengeance upon them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. See, there's a lot of people that will claim to know God. There's a lot of religions that claim to know God. I was watching a show, and it was very much so upon the Muslim religion and how they know God, and how the Jew knows God, and how the Christian knows God. Well, the difference is that this wondrous Word of God tells me that I can't know God unless I know Christ. Let's go over to 1 Peter. I want you to read this. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 21. That's 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 21. Whom by Him do believe in God. That's your Jesus. By Christ Jesus, we believe in God. You cannot believe in God. You cannot approach God. You can't come to God without Christ. That is the difference. They all reference, all of these major religions of the world, they'll reference or have in their writings the Messiah, Christ Jesus, and all these things. But the great difference is I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man comes to the Father but by me. And that's a great difference. And that's it. That's the simplicity that is in Christ. And we know that and rejoice in that. And by the grace of God, I'll tell you what, get some zeal to stand in it. God help us not to be wishy-washy about this stuff. Not willing to profess the gospel. In love, but stand. Stand. Don't worry about hurting somebody's feelings. I'd rather hurt your feelings than see you go to hell. I don't want it on me. And I mean that. Remember that young man that I was flying back with? There, I think it was out there in Minnesota one time. And such a fine young man. Brilliant. Came over from one of the African countries. And he's a Muslim. And just educated, articulate, so hardworking. I mean, just admired him so. But there it was. And we got into the religion discussion. And he continued to tell me how, oh, I believe about Jesus, and I believe about Moses, and I believe about all these things. And we accept the Bible. Well, then who was with God when He said, let us make man in our own image? Well, you know what? Didn't have an answer. And you know why? Because they refuse that Jesus Christ is Lord. They refuse that Jesus Christ is very God of very God. They refuse that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and the only Son of God. You see? Okay, there's the difference. And it's a difference that can't be mended in any way. It must be Him. You must be born again. And these are the things by His grace we need to make sure that does not slip. All right, let's go on to verse 9 and we'll hurry along. It says, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power? Now this is Revelation chapter 20 verses 11 through 15. That's Revelation chapter 20 verses 11 through 15. I'll let you just mark that. You can go back and read about that. The greatest of all punishments, I still believe even beyond the lake of fire, is eternity apart from the presence of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's it, and His glory. Absolute eternal darkness. To be separated from that. To know that you missed that. Every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess that He is Lord. They will know. Absolutely certain. What an awful thought. And God help us if there was anybody that we would feel is so wicked that we would turn that way. I think about this, these two young people that are being persecuted, the one prosecuted, I should say, for the events with that child. God help them. I don't know what happened there. But even if the worst of the worst happened, I'm going to tell you something and know it. God sent His Son to die for them too. And but for the grace of God, there go I. Please know that. Please have compassion. I see some of the things that have been written by Christian people about frying and going to hell and all those things. Well, let me tell you something. I know that young lady is our sister in the Lord. And we do need to pray. And pray fervently that God would have His way. I just pray that God have His way. All right? So, if that makes you sick or something of that nature, I encourage you to get on your knees. Because we do need to love without hypocrisy. All right, verse 10. When He shall come to be glorified in His saints. All right, now, is that making you feel better? He's coming. All right, come on now, get out of anything we're thinking about this evening. And be admired. Here's something different. In all them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day. Now, this is precious here, and this is an important verse to look at, because there's a great separation here. It speaks of two companies. First of all, we have glorified saints. Isn't that precious? He's going to be glorified, magnified in these certain ones. Those that take the joint sufferings, there in Romans 8:19. And then we see that there's admiring believers. And as we know, there's a battle going on with these saints, just as we know there's a battle going on here today. There is. We're fighting the good fight of faith. Praise the Lord. I want to finish it with joy, and a joy unspeakable and full of glory. And what Brother Paul is saying here is awake and be ready and note the things that we have taught and don't let them slip. Don't let go by the grace of God of the first love. Respond to the call of being a glorified saint. I want to go to heaven by the grace of God, absolutely. But I want to win Him. I want to win Him. I want Him as my own. I want Him as my bridegroom. Now, Lord, whatever that entails, and I am excited about it because I'm going to be with Him. And I'm going to be with Him in an arm-in-arm fashion. In a rib fashion. Closest to the heart fashion. And He's going to make known to all that He has loved her. I just, you know, it's just amazing. You know, I do. I think about these weddings. We have one coming up. And that groom is going to turn her around once they have wed. And when you say, I present to you Mr. and Mrs., she has become his namesake. That's the announcement to all that they are one. That's the announcement to all that he loves her and she loves him. And that's what it's going to be. And that's what it's going to be forever. And it's a day that's never going to end. It's a honeymoon that's never going to grow old. Can you imagine that? Wow. Praise God. Now, the word saint, saints in this verse, there's a couple things I'd like to encourage here to point out to you. This word saints, to be glorified in the saints. This word saints means most holy. Isn't that exciting? It's emphasizing mature. It's emphasizing fully grown. As in Revelation 19. Remember, she's coming down out of heaven. She possesses the very glory of God. Whereas, let's look at the admiring believers. They're admiring the situation. They're like the guests at the wedding. They're sitting there beholding the glory. Jude, verse 24. It says that there'll be those that behold the glory. It's going to be a great place to be. But I'm looking at these sweet sisters and different ones that are nodding their heads, and I think what they're flashing back to, I remember my wedding day. I liked going to all these weddings, but I'm sure appreciative of my wedding day. There was nothing like it. Not just that you were the focal point of the whole thing, but that was your wedding day, and that is your man. Well, praise be to God, we got a man. Oh, a man that loves us so. And we are being offered the right to marry him. And that's exciting. Praise be to God. And those ones that will admire him, you'll see it there. The innumerable multitude, Revelation 7. They're standing before the throne. They're seeing it all. It's an amazing thing that happens. But I'm telling you, there's nobody that's got a better seat than that bride. Yeah. Yep, she's right there. So this is what's being offered. And sure, it's beyond what my mind could think. Sure, it's beyond any imagination. Sure, it's beyond any of these things. But you know, but by the Spirit, there's something going on in here. And it's real. It's just real. Because you know what? God said it. And He's invited us into it. And praise be to God, may we apprehend it. All right. Let's go on to verse 11. It says, wherefore also we pray always for you. Look at that. They're praying always for them. That our God would count you worthy of this calling. Now, what is that? Worthy of salvation, you think? Come on, we know that. You're seated together with Him in the heavens in Christ. But it's worthy of a calling. It's worthy of a high calling of God in Christ Jesus. How could you not see this? Now, I understand it's just the Holy Spirit that does it. But he that wills to know will know. And it's there. It's all over the Word of God. I had a sweet sister in my office today bring me over to Genesis. And she was pointing something out. And my heart just left the room. And I was thinking, oh my goodness, it's there too. And it's there too. And it's there too. Praise the Lord. He was painting it all over the place. And it's just exciting to see how perfect it is. It's just another dot and another dot in that connection, that all of the love of God that brings us back to that wondrous cross. And I just thank Him for it. But it says, wherefore also we pray always for you, that our God would count you worthy of His calling and fulfill all the good pleasure of His goodness and the work of faith with power. Now, this is Paul's prayer that they would be counted worthy. And it sounds here that he's a little bit worrisome, because in the first letter in Thessalonians, he uses the word we all the time. We and all of these things. Now he's saying to count you worthy. Something's a little bit off. There's a battle going on. But the same calling is here. And Paul, through the Holy Spirit, is giving it to them. He's warning them. He's admonishing them. Don't let these things slip. And brothers and sisters, I know that there's been an urgency even in this ministry. And it's been going on for some weeks now, months, I don't know. Maybe you're thinking, man, he's saying the same thing every single time. Don't let these things slip. By the grace of God, the Lord is speaking to all of us. Run and run well. Run fervently. Don't be passive. By the grace of God, we need to get after this. Lord, light a fire. And I find in my own life, and maybe it's different than yours, the time that the fire's dying is the time that I'm looking at myself. I'm feeling sorry for myself. I'm getting caught in my own self-pity. You'll hear me say that often. Rise up. Arise. Look up. Come on. Huh? Look up. Thanks be to God, there's no... Gotta watch how I say that. There's no mirrors on the ceiling. I'm just looking for the Lord. I'm not looking back at myself. I'm looking for Him. I'm looking for Him. And that's what it is. And I'm telling you, it will. I'd never like to use the word. It'll make you feel better. It just does. That's what the Holy Spirit does. When He's operating and rampant in your life by His grace, it really does lift you up. Now, Brother Paul is saying, I'm running on. Don't get left in my dust. I really believe that's what he's saying. But there's a couple words I want to point out here. The word count, so wondrous. It means, in the Greek, judged worthy of the reward. Isn't that wonderful? Judged worthy of the reward. See, we know it's not salvation, so it must be a calling. Well, isn't that ironic? That the calling is the vocation. Just like it calls for that walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. That word calling here is the same word for vocation. It's the high calling. It's the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. It's all running around this. The word comes from klesis. For those that like to look that up, it's K-L-E-S-I-S in the Greek. The high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And then it goes on to use that word all. Well, that's the same completion, perfection, all, just like in Ephesians 3:19, where it says, filled with all the fullness of God. It's complete. She is complete. She's complete in every way. She is perfect. She's perfectly allowed Him to do that work in her life. I was thankful to God again today. I said, Lord, thank you how you're delivering me from my thoughts. Thank you how you're delivering me from my self-condemnation. And I mean that. Lord, you're rising me above that. You're getting my thoughts upon you, not upon all of these failures in my life. Shoot, if I want to dwell upon them, it's going to occupy the whole time. Maybe it does half a day for you. It would be 24/7 for me. And I mean that. And he said, son, I just want you to be occupied with me. And as I occupy with him, it's amazing. I don't have time to think about the other stuff. And it really, it works that way. It's so wonderful. You get Jesus, you don't have any room. I'm telling you, he's that jealous lover. He comes in there and he starts to possess and take all of it. All of me, Lord. And it is so wondrous how he does that. So amazing how he loves us. All right, let's close it out here with, I'll go back and read 11 and 12 together. Wherefore also we pray always for you, that our God would count you worthy of this calling, and fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness, and the work of faith with power. See, we can have faith, but man, there's faith with power. That's the believing faith. That's the faith that I'm telling you, the high calling of God faith. This is what is all in this. That the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you. Now look, he's talking to Christians. He's talking to Christians that are saved, that are filled with the Holy Spirit, that have the message of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And what is he saying? That the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you. There's a difference. There is a great difference. I will go difference. That I'm willing to go without the camp difference. That I'm willing to, I don't need to the things of this world. I don't need to be honored by the accolades of this world. Lord, this is about you. And by the grace of God, if it's just a walk and a life like Jeremiah, man, I've got all this talent. I know all this word. I've got all these things to say. And all I got is this little bumpkin messenger running around with me, and I don't think he listens any of the time. Am I still willing to go? Really? Is it that worth it to me? Do I understand this life is but a vapor? I know sometimes it seems long. Have some kids. Get married. You'll see how fast it goes. And it does. That when he said it's but a vapor, it is but a vapor. At best, by the grace of God, I'm halfway through. Isn't that something? Amazing. And you knew me when I just started. That's how quickly it goes. That's why we need to make it count, huh? That's why we need to redeem the time. That's why, by the grace of God, you know, even if he doesn't come in my lifetime, it's still but a vapor. It's still but just a moment. And Lord, I want all the fullness of God in my life. Is that the cry in our heart? My goodness. But that we may be glorified, that Christ Jesus may be glorified in you and ye in him, according to the grace of our Lord, of God and the Lord Jesus Christ. And we'll just wrap this up. These are the three ingredients, brothers and sisters, to being in the jointly reigning company. This is the proof, the evidence of being counted worthy of the calling and worthy of this high calling of God in Christ Jesus. First of all, you see that the fulfilled work of his good pleasure of all his goodness. We have to be willing for him to will and to do of his good pleasure in our life. We must be vessels that are willing to say, Christ in me is the hope of glory. By the grace of God, we must come to the place where we finally say, thy will be done. Now, I know I'm talking to human beings, and I know we're all walking around in flesh. But oh, what God can do. And I know that he's doing it in your lives. I can see it. By the grace of God, he brings it into my heart. I pray for it, and I know that you pray for me, that truly we would be brothers and sisters of like precious faith that would be willing to say, thy will be done. See, that's the love. We can know all mysteries. We can give all of our stuff to the poor. I could speak with the tongues of men and angels. I could have faith to move mountains. But if I don't have that kind of love, the love that says, thy will be done, it didn't profit me a thing. What do you think? Huh? When you got married, ladies, did you go to your husband and say, well, I better not open that can up too hard, but you're going to go with me here. Well, I need this size of house, and I need you to give me this kind of spending allowance, and I need you to do... Men, I hope if that's what hit you, I hope you ran. But that's not what you did. If you're really in love, you just say, I'll go. Amen? Amen. It is. Now you find out all these wonderful things, and I'm not saying that, you know, you just go for it. But see, the Holy Spirit showed all of this wondrous, wondrous Savior. And it's just too good to be true. And it is true, though. And that's why she could say, I'm going. Praise God. I'm going. But we were made for His pleasure. And He's calling us into, truly, I was rejoicing in it. It's a high calling pleasure. Can you imagine that? It is. It's a high calling pleasure. Think of the pleasures that we get, even naturally speaking, as we mature as humans. It's true. Same for the pleasure that He's calling us into in the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. It all goes accordingly. All right. Then secondly, it talks about the completed, finished work of faith. This is the faith with power. And brothers and sisters, this is the faith that is working in this power. And it only comes with the power. It's called dynamite. Brother Hill used to talk about it all the time. This is the dynamite power. This is what faith really does in your life. It transforms you. It just believes in God. It believes that He is. You come to God and you rejoice with Him in all things. You can be thankful in everything. You come before the throne of grace, and I'm telling you, there might be a horrible situation coming around, and do you ever find yourself kind of even chuckling before the Lord and just kind of laughing with Him, saying, I know You love me. I know You got it. I'm not saying we always come like that. There might be tears, but it comes to that point. And it's just like, you know, Lord, that's another wave that hit me. And you almost kind of chuckle and say, man, You love me. And I mean it. Brother Paul got to the point that he's prayed for it. Bring on that tribulation. Bring on those trials. For when I'm weak, then I'm strong. For the very power of Christ rests upon me. How far are you willing to go? Come on. Amen. Amen. There is a mark for this prize. This isn't close. It's all. It's complete. It's someone that's just surrendered. You see how you have no way to have the ability to do that as a person, as a human. Only the Holy Spirit can get that done in your life. That's what's so comforting. That's where I really want you, by the grace of God, to find your rest in that, that this is God's work. That's the grace of God. That's the marvel of the grace of God. Glorified together with Christ. Christ in me, the hope of glory. I'm beginning to see a theme. How long did it take, Lord? Well, You're showing it to me. I'm beginning to see a theme. And the theme, brothers and sisters, is it's all by grace, as He closes it out here. The undeserved gift of love and mercy upon His vessels who were afore prepared unto glory. That's what He made you for. That's what He made you to receive, to display. And as it says in our wonderful word here, He's coming to be glorified in His saints. Amen. You've got something to look forward to. Praise be to God. And it is the greatest. Let's stand and be dismissed.